Every epiphany, our readings start the same way and end the same way. After the story of the Magi arriving in Jerusalem looking for Jesus, on the first Sunday of Epiphany, we reflect on the baptism of Jesus. And on the last Sunday of Epiphany, like today, we hear about the Transfiguration. And in between, we have readings which focus on who Jesus is, the beloved Son of God. Some stories and some symbols have particular importance, and they carry many layers of meaning for us. We could say that they even have a surplus of meaning. One of those is the metaphor of Jesus as the Lamb of God, which I reflected on a few weeks ago. The Transfiguration is another one of those. We can see it as an opportunity for the disciples to see that Jesus is the Christ, reflecting God's glory, an initiation for the Christ, along with incarnation, baptism, resurrection, and ascension, showing the continuity of Jesus' ministry with Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophet, and indicating that we too can be transformed by God's light. And you may have thought of others, so I'm going to ask you just to take a couple of minutes, turn to someone near to you, and think about what does Transfiguration mean to you?
Oh. Is the clicking coming from me?
It's coming from you. Don't know why, because you're not touching the thing at all. It's just...
I'm a little bit mad. Can you turn the fan down a bit? You're getting quite mad.
Transfiguration means to me. No, it's a new year. No, I guess the Transfiguration has to do with taking the communion, right? That's what that was called.
You should be thinking transubstantiation, which is
yeah, that's what I was saying. Oh, so that's not
this thing. The Transfiguration is transfiguring into transfiguration is to mind itself.
It's the same kind of thing.
So it's like,
but it's a vivid.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's what trans means.
What do you think? What do you think?
No.
You want to join in? My brain is locked because of all the time.
Yeah.
I can't even think of it. Wish we could transfigure some of these things to start working.
Yeah.
So when things change.
Yeah. And specifically, I think this weekend is like...
What transfiguration
is doing?
Aren't we all part of that then? And we're all part of the Transfiguration.
Yeah.
We're all part of it.
Oh my friends, thank you. So,
okay.
So what do you think? What else does the Transfiguration mean to you? Anyone like to share? Oh, Diana says it's time to get confused.
I'm confused. I always say, try to understand. I don't understand
sometimes. Diana gets confused and doesn't understand sometimes. Why? Do you have something?
Yeah, okay. I mentioned about that configuration. If they're really going good, you want to keep it that way. That's not the issue.
Right, so in the story, Peter says, well, let me build you a booth, let me make you a tent. And the Bob's reflection is that when things are going really well, you want them to keep going that, but that's not the way it comes to go, is it?
After hearing the story of the Transfiguration, the reading that day, we heard that Mary Elizabeth had died. And I've always thought that was her day of freedom from a body that couldn't keep up with her mind or her spirit or her anything else, and what a release that was for her. and what a loss in the same way it was for us. So transfiguration is, has many meanings.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's, I find it comforting, frankly.
This is reflecting that it was after we had this reading that we heard that Mary Elizabeth had died. And so that felt like it was an important time of transformation for Mary Elizabeth and a time of grief for us as a community, but also comforting knowing that, that she was indeed being transformed.
Joe was saying that he finds openness the possibility and the call to transformation, personal transformation. And he was talking about the chakra and how the prayers of all of those men and women and Roberts. Our team has still here with us. We have many of their bodies are overseas. So transfiguration offers us a possibility of reunion too.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Gio. Good to see you here this morning. So Gio's reflecting that it's a passage of hope. And he and Cam also talked about the building and how it has the prayers of men who are going to going to war, and some of them did not come back. So we have with us a multitude of witnesses and of hope of people whose bodies may still be in Europe.
The first day I walked in, I didn't know, but somebody told me where this came from.
But you felt it, huh?
Well, yeah, I think
so. Gio felt that presence the first time he came in here. John, did you know something?
That's almost 6, 7 years ago, isn't it?
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about the physical transfiguration that is also a metaphor. And about, and just the destructive powerfulness is that image. And what I was thinking about is just the spiritual side of the transfiguration, meaning Jesus becoming aware of his calling, his role.
Thank you. So Liz was particularly taken with this image of the physical transfiguration and the metaphor that that is for the spiritual life, and Dharma's thinking about it in terms of Jesus' understanding of his role. Did I get that accurately? Cool. Ross.
Well, it's interesting. Why well, I was going to say something else. Well, there's two things. One was, I was reading this last night, and the voice from heaven says the same thing as it did at Jesus' baptism. It took me all these years to go, oh. And something else like.
Well, let me just tell everybody what Ros said first. So Ros was saying she read this last night and suddenly realized that the voice from heaven says the same thing as it does at the baptism. At the baptism, which is, you know, that interesting bookend thing that we have one at the beginning of Epiphany and the other at the end of Epiphany.
It's
really
the same thing. The word was the spirit of the retreat. Is that a reenactment where people took different roles of the transfiguration? And what was the Moses and Elijah, those were two close roles. Then there's not the hands of Jesus. And very probably what others realize that they're taking the crucible. They are lifting up the arms as of the cross, this glorification there. Being this glorification on the cross also.
Right, thank you. So, I guess Ross was reflecting on the drama of this, where people taking the roles of Moses and Elijah lifted up Jesus' hands for the Transfiguration, but then also realize that that's also the Son of God. So that brings together that sense of Jesus' death also being Jesus' glory, which we have so often in John's Gospel. Rising.
What you guys said, Transfiguration, I can't help but think of, you know, what I think here, and I regard the spiritual Transfiguration, and I hear the same things, you know, closer to Jesus, closer to God.
That's great. So Bryson is sharing that, it makes her think about her time at St. Benedict's and how she's gone through a personal transformation and transfiguration during this time. It's wonderful. Anyone else? Okay, well, thank you all. That was a great reflection, and I appreciate it. My reflection has been on Jesus' words that we talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago, when he said that he had come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And now here he is on this remarkable occasion, this amazing vision, with representatives of the law and the prophets, with Moses, who brought down the law, and with Elijah, who is one of the archetypal prophets. And I suggested to you when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, that the law and the prophets, most of what makes up our Old Testament, is about the same message that Jesus taught and Jesus embodied. So keeping the law was actually not about keeping to a set of regulations, but about a way of showing one's love for God. And so I think that's what Jesus means when he comes up with that great summary of the law, as love God with all you've got, and your neighbor as yourself. 10 years ago, a guy called Gary Chapman came up with a book called The Five Love Languages. This was originally intended as a book about Christian marriage, but the ideas got moved their way into popular culture, and if you Google The Five Love Languages, you'll find many things, including an article from Vogue this week which suggests that it's time to forget them. I didn't read the article, but if you're interested, it's there. Personally, I find the idea of loving God rather nebulous. Now, I tend to worry about whether I really love God, because I don't get warm, fuzzy feelings every time I think about God. So it's helpful to me to identify different ways that we can show our love. So here are Chapman's five love languages. Words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, and physical touch. Okay, so the last one, physical touch, does not apply to God as we know God right now. But the other four, I think, are all useful in thinking about the ways that we love God, and they are all embedded in the law and the prophets. When we worship, we offer God words of affirmation. God does not need to be praised like a small child might need to, but offering God our praise in Him and in prayer opens our hearts to the love that flows through the universe. When we contribute our time and our energy to the furtherance of God's kingdom, whether inside or outside the church, we are loving God through acts of service. When we make an offering, whether it's an offering of money or of a castle, we are loving God with our gifts. And whenever we spend time in prayer, meditation, or just being in God's presence, we are showing our love through quality time. And prior to Jesus, the people of Israel showed their love for God in these ways, just as we do. But Jesus brings a totally different possibility into the mix. Jesus brings the possibility of transformation. Jesus brings the possibility of being transformed into Christ-like beings. Jesus offers us a completely new heart. He offers us not just the language of love, but love itself. On the mountain, the disciples were not afraid when they saw Moses and Elijah, not even when Jesus started shining like the sun. It was when they heard God's voice that they were afraid. But the words The words were words of love. This is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased, listen to him. And Jesus followed that up with loving words of his own. Get up and do not be afraid. God's love transforms. When we open ourselves to the possibility of a mutual relationship with God, we are probably right to have a little concern. Showing God our love is fairly safe, we know how to do these things, but allowing ourselves to be transformed by God's love is a different thing. I know that I get caught up in all the ways that I communicate my love for God, acts of service, words of affirmation, gifts, and sometimes quality time. I get busy showing my love for God and neighbor. It is much easier than being consumed than being transformed, transfigured by love. What did you hear in the first reading? Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord is like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. I would rather rush around doing important things than dare to spend a long, long time in the presence of the devouring fire of God's love. It's not surprising to me that when Moses came down from that mountain, his face was shining so brightly that he had to wear a face covering so people could look at him. But remember Thomas Merton's vision? He described it like this. In a Louis Vale at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs. That we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world, the world of renunciation and supposed holiness. This sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. He continues, I have the immense joy of being man, a member of a race in which God himself became incarnate, as if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me. Now I realize what we all are. And only everybody could realize this, that it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. We are all walking around shining like the sun already. So perhaps the transformation is not that we suddenly move from someplace else into the heart of love, but that we realize that that's where we've been all along. We are already surrounded and filled and embraced by love herself, by the God of Jesus, who always says, it is when we allow that reality to be the reality of our lives that we are transformed and even transfigured. My friends, we may show God love through our different love languages, but God just wants to fill us with a self-giving love that makes the atoms dance. The self-giving love that consumes and transforms entirely. The love that transforms us into Christ himself. So I'm going to end with a story from the Desert Fathers that continues to speak to me. I've shared it with you before, as I heard it first from my hometown Aunt Stevens. Abba Lot went to Abba Joseph and said to him, Abba, insofar as I can, I say my prayers, I keep my little fast, and I pray and meditate and practice contemplative silence. And insofar as I can, I purify myself of distracting thoughts. Now what more shall I do? The elder stood up and stretched his hands in heaven, and his fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. And he said to him, why not become entirely fire?